and welcome to Kenobi Week. I'm your host, Brayden Ledbetter.
Kenobi Week!
I'm Jackson Deline.
Yeah, right.
That's my best Darth Maul impression from Rebels. Welcome back. We're here to talk about some more Star Wars news. We got a lot this week. But before we get into that, let's talk about us, because I like talking about us more than Star Wars.
I like talking about you, too.
No, thanks, dude. But speaking of talking about us, what's your life, your Star Wars life been like
well,
for the past
I'm
week or so?
Knocking shit down trying to show you, but
Hold on. Knock my Sabacc game over. My battery.
As I told you, I think last episode, we got a bunch of Star Wars books that came in through Goodwill, mm-hmm. right? Well, I got a couple. I got Dark Lord, The Rise of Darth Vader, and then Spectre of the Past and Vision of the Future, which are Timothy Zahn books.
Yeah.
For you, big boy, I got you a pre-Legends Darth Maul Shadow. Where's my camera? Shadow Hunter.
What?
So that's for you. I'll be bringing this when we see each other next.
Yes.
There were no Darth Bane. The only one had was Path of Destruction. I was just like, wow, well. But I thought you would enjoy that, so I got that for you.
Well, thanks, dude.
Of course, of course. Other than that, I got some comics. I haven't really looked at it, but it was a Star Wars number one that someone gave me, which is pretty cool. I'll have to check out.
Very cool.
More Batman stuff. This isn't fully Star Wars related, but have you checked out Batman Unburied on Spotify?
No.
It's a podcast that they're doing with it's got a bunch of people in it, but it's like an audio play, you know, it's its own story about Batman and whatnot, and it's really cool. Winston Duke plays Batman in it, which is really fun. But the Star Wars correlation is that Sam Witwer is the bad guy in it. He is like the serial killer, and he's very, very good at it, as of, you know, of course.
Dope.
But I think that's it, other than have we been on the podcast since I redid my whole thing? I think we have.
Yeah, last week,
okay,
I think,
okay.
was your debut.
Yeah, nothing new has come from that then. I'm working a film set this last 2 weeks, so I've just been kind of all over the place. That these are the minor things that I have done, but I'm very, very excited for Kenobi this week. I have been looking forward to it.
Yeah, dude.
All month.
Gonna be able to experience it together.
Yeah, right. It's gonna be great. What about you?
Something very exciting, something we've been talking about for the past like 3 months, finally happened. I finally finished Fallen Star.
Yay!
We'll definitely have to do a book club episode on it, but
yeah, for sure. We need to have whole High Republic talk.
Yeah. I think out of the three of the main novels, I think it's my least favorite.
Really?
I do like it a lot, but I think it's my least favorite.
I probably have it switched with you. I'm assuming your ranking is Rising Storm, Light of the Jedi, and Fallen Star. Mm-hmm. Mine's switch your 2 and 3. Mine's Rising, Fallen, Light of the Jedi.
Nice. And it's not that I dislike Fallen Star at all. I like the other two.
I think that's really interesting, because you really did follow the masses on that. I probably had skimmed it, and I just remember like after a certain point, like I was just hooked. And my mindset of Fallen Star is like the mindset of what people saw Midnight Horizon, but my mindset of Midnight Horizon are what people saw Fallen Star, you know, like I just had them switched, and I don't know, like I don't know, but yeah, I'm really glad you finished it. I've been waiting for this High Republic talk. I'm so ready to just deep down, like, discuss it all with you.
I don't know if it was, at least for me, without spoiling anything for anybody who like wants to read and hasn't read it yet, I don't know if the ending is like a lot of the stuff that happens at the end is as devastating as I thought it was going to be.
It's fair. It leaves so much like undecided that I think that's the biggest tell of like, what are they going to do in the future? You know, I mean, and that's kind of why I left this one. I was like, I like that there was open-ended like questions, because I am glad to kind of know that we will be seeing something of these characters in the future, you know?
Yeah. And I'm just, the fact that we're gonna have to potentially, depending on what they do with the story, to potentially wait like a year
it'll
or
be
two.
Probably yeah another year or two till we see a familiar face again.
Yeah, so
but I am very excited for phase two. That'll be fun to start with.
Yeah, I really hope with phase two they stay on this trend of like really relatable, like cool characters that like you really get to know
for sure.
And I hope we get a little more Yoda than we have been. But another thing is I'm about three sentences into Lords of the Sith.
Ooh. I've been wanting to read that. Do tell me how that is.
Yeah, I've had this book. So the story behind me getting this book is I used to work at Target, and a Target in St. Louis. And I was just like having a casual conversation with one of my coworkers about how like I had always wanted to read Lords of the Sith, but I never got a chance to. I just never got around to picking it up. And he was like, oh, well, whenever I ordered mine on Amazon, they sent me two. Do you just want my other one? I was like, absolutely, yeah. I do. So that's how I got this book. And it's been sitting on my shelf for like probably 2 years now. Just like it's like pristine new condition.
That's cool.
Never been read. So I'm finally deciding to.
It's high up there on my canon like list of.
And so many people have regarded it so highly that like. I gotta stop putting it off.
I'm hoping I just essentially got like the Legends version of that Rise of Darth Vader. It's kind of the Legends counterpart to that book. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that will feed my hunger before I end up getting into Lords of the Sith. But yeah, do let me know. I have that and Tarkin are books that like, I don't know when I'm going to read them, but I want to read them.
Right. Yeah. I think after this, my plan is I want to get into this Darth Bane trilogy really bad. And if not that, I got this new George Lucas biography book I want to dive into as well.
That's cool.
But other than that, nothing too crazy going on. Cool. Just been ramping up for Kenobi, which we'll definitely talk about here in this news. But speaking of news, let's dive into this hefty news week with all this Vanity Fair stuff and this Kenobi stuff. Let's dive right into our first story.
We got a lot, and we're going to talk a lot fast, so keep up and hang out. Starting right off the bat, we got Hayden Christensen looks back on Star Wars Attack of the Clones for its 20th anniversary. On the 20th anniversary of Star Wars Attack of the Clones, which was last
week.
Friday, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, something like the 20th. No, that's not right. Was it the 16th? I don't remember. Anyway, it was just recently. Hayden talked about his experience with the movie with StarWars.com. Quote,
16th.
The 16th. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I remember when I got the phone call saying that I got the part. I was still in bed, actually, in my apartment in Vancouver at the time. I recall walking out after I got... Oh, which, side note, I didn't know Hayden Christensen was Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Good Canadian kid.
Good Canadian kid. I recall walking out after I got off the phone, just sort of stunned and in disbelief by the news, walking into the living room where my roommate was. He was aware that I was waiting for this call, and he saw my smile and immediately understood that this was good news. My response was, I lit up an imaginary lightsaber. He was a big Star Wars fan, too. And he had the soundtrack of episode one. He put the Star Wars soundtrack on, and we had this whole imaginary lightsaber duel around our apartment, jumping on all the furniture and just screaming like giddy little children, end quote. He also goes on to talk about his experience working on the films with his approach to playing Anakin. And you can head over to StarWars.com to read the full interview. Love this kind of little story, you know, of just him being a kid of, you know.
Yeah. Like, and I can't think of a different reaction somebody would have of finding out they're the new star of Star Wars.
I just would cry. Just the idea of like, I'm Darth Vader. Like, like that's like who I just got cast in. And like, oh, the feeling in your chest. Like, that's just so rewarding.
I would not expect anything more or less than this reaction.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine like the roommate sitting on the couch like, so, and Hayden just goes, you know? So super cool. I love hearing that. That whole article is fun too. I checked that out when it came out a couple nights ago.
Yeah. There's also like a video interview of like him answering, basically saying this. We're in like the Kenobi press junket era right now. So we're getting a bunch of like fun interview tidbits, and that was part of that. And I'm really glad that the view on Hayden Christensen has turned around in the past decade or so. like people have really like come to accept and appreciate him as like as an actor and like
for sure
what he truly did for Star Wars, you know.
And I think too a lot of the big thing with Hayden back in the day was that it just wasn't what people expected, and that's why they deemed it bad. But like you look at Revenge of the Sith and like that's a killer performance, you know, like he really portrays this broken and conflicted person that like, you know, I think a big thing too, and this is always something George has done with all of his movies, is subverting the expectations of a quote unquote male lead. You know, half of Revenge of the Sith, Anakin's crying. And it's like in 2005, like the ideal of men crying was still kind of for shamed and unheard of, you know. And I'm really glad that Hayden was that person to convey that, was to be someone who can be this, you know, cool, strapping, awesome, you know, action hero man. But he was also full of emotions, and it, and you can see what, you know, dealing with that amount of emotion can do to somebody, you know, turns him into Darth Vader.
Yeah, and you also look at that early concept art. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's this early concept art for Anakin Skywalker. He's got like ripped sleeves, a mohawk, like tattoos. And I'm like, what the heck, George? And they obviously eventually turned him in basically into a Kenobi from episode one.
Yeah. But
I think that also kind of goes to show, like, I wonder if like that look was what people were like
expecting
and hoping for back in 2002, of like, oh, this dude's going to turn Darth Vader, so he's got to look really badass.
And they kind of hype up Anakin of being like, you know, he was this warrior and he was this, you know, the perfect Jedi Knight. And then they see this kid, you know, they see this person who's dealing with a lot of stuff.
Canadian
yeah,
kid.
Exactly. And it's just like, people were just, you know, angry about it. But
yeah, I'm sure there's a thousand different reasons for people to have different feelings about Hayden's Anakin. But I personally, like,
I've always been a fan.
I've always been a fan only because I didn't have the internet to tell me, hey, this is bad acting, or hey, this dialogue is bad. Like, I didn't have internet, like, to do that.
As someone who, at least in my case, has been has watched, you know, film and has studied that, and, you know, I did acting in high school, and it was like even at a young age, you know, being obsessed with movies and film like that, it was like I never found that problem, you know. I always liked how it correlated with the story.
Yeah, well, so moving on here, we have some new details about the Acolyte, which seems to be news about the Acolyte seems to be scarce recently, but I'm hoping we start getting on board with a lot of news about this show, because I'm extremely interested and excited about it. But we got some news from the Vanity Fair article that came out as a part of a massive interview with Vanity Fair. Showrunner Leslie Headlin reveals a few details about the project stemming from the time the period that it's set in. Vanity Fair acknowledges previous reports that Amanda Stenberg is rumored to be playing the lead role in the show, and mentions that Headlin has been working on it for the last 2 years from her home. And the writing stage is complete and casting is now underway, which I think we knew. And we knew that the Acolyte takes place at the end of the High Republic era, but Vanity Fair confirms that the show will be set roughly 100 years before the events of the Skywalker saga, and Headlin was particularly interested in charting the rise of the Sith in the shadows, how they could hide in plain sight without attracting the Jedi's attention. Quote, "A lot of these characters haven't even been born yet. We're taking a look at the political and personal and spiritual things that came up in a time period that we don't know much about." My question when watching The Phantom Menace was always like, well, how did things get to this point? How did we get to a point where a Sith Lord can infiltrate the Senate and none of the Jedi pick up on it? Like, what went wrong? What are the other scenarios that led to this moment? She also went on to discuss the new era that the show will be set in. We actually use the term the Renaissance, or the Age of Enlightenment, which I think is really cool. The Jedi uniforms are gold and white, and it's almost like they would never get dirty. They would never be out and about, and the idea is that they could have these types of uniforms because that's how little they're getting into skirmishes.
It's very High Republic of you to say.
I know, yeah. So I'm getting the vibe from, you know, her comments here and the era that the show's set in, is that it's going to be very Jedi v Sith, like, but the Jedi aren't expecting it. You know, it's going to be one of those. The Jedi aren't used to having
Yeah.
An opposing force.
An actual foe. I agree.
Right.
I think this show is going to pick up how phase three will end. And that it'll literally, it says, you know, oh, about 100 years before Skywalker saga, that checks out to like, well, think, you know, phase one is 200 years. I could see phase three being closer to that 100 years distance, and it'll pick up literally like the end of phase three will be probably like, probably not, but like, think of it like it'll be the first shot of the Acolyte, you know?
That'd be cool.
And I think phase two of High Republic will set up a lot of things for the Acolyte.
I'm wondering, I think it would be cool if they like literally directly connected the High Republic like literature with actual show.
And,
like,
and I think they are
even introducing like the characters that'll show up in the Acolyte.
I think they definitely are, that there will be some people that we will see in the show later on.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean,
it'd be cool if they did have like, you know, a Yoda showing up in the Acolyte, and you know, a bunch of Jedi that we became familiar with in the High Republic that are still around. You know, that'd be super cool.
It would be kind of cool seeing Jedi that we have grown and learned with in the literature, but in the show they're, you know, kind of seen as bad guys. Maybe we see their demise in the Acolyte, and it's like,
imagine that'd be cool. Imagine like a Avar Chris death in the Acolyte or something.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That'd be cool.
Ooh, you know how much that would hurt me? And then like anybody who hasn't read the High Republic would be like, who was that?
Oh, they killed some random Jedi and all the Star Wars fans are just broken.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm super excited for the Acolyte. I think that is the project that is like furthest away on the timeline currently. Which is fine. I think they're going to spend a lot of time making it good. I really hope.
I hope so.
Super excited for it. But what do we got up next?
Up next, Rosario Dawson talks difficulties on keeping Ahsoka's secrets. In an interview with Vanity Fair, she reveals how she tried to call her friend's son while wearing her full Ahsoka makeup. Quote, I call my friend Polina because her son Cosmo is a huge fan of Star Wars. He knows every ship, every robot. Nice.
Nice.
He sees me and throws the phone across the room, just freaked out. I've gotten ice cream with this kid. We've hung out, but it was just too much that this character he loves was starting to talk to him and said his name. She calls me back the next day and goes, Cosmo just walked into the room and told me he's ready now. I said, well, that's very sweet, but I'm no longer in costume. His moment is missed, end quote. The report also references the time that Dawson shared a rumor on social media that Hayden Christensen would be joining the cast of Ahsoka, a post that many fans took as a confirmation that we'd be getting Anakin Skywalker in flashbacks or as a Force ghost. Quote, I just posted Sky Guy. They know. See you soon, Snips. I looked in my email and Star Wars was like, you might want to take that down. I'm like, man, I can't be trusted. End quote, which I think that's funny that I think it's funny watching new actors get into big franchise like businesses like this, like Mark Ruffalo spoiling Infinity War six times over when they were finally like, hey Mark, we'll fire you.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny that it's kind of happening here too, that it's like they just, you know, are having fun with the role and post on social media and everyone you know, they tweet it and then within the hour outside their window the building's on fire and Star Wars is contacting them like, what did you do?
Yeah, I think there is something in this article that makes me not really believe that. So let me pull this up really quick, because she talks about the reason she shared that is because she thought like it was like news to her that Anakin or Hayden was in the show. And I kind of look at it like, well, how would you not know that Hayden's in the show, but then post that? Because if Hayden was in the show, he would be in a scene with you, I would assume.
Right.
Like, this is just complete speculation. But
he's not.
I think that all but confirms that Hayden's in the show, and then she screwed up.
It gives me that Liam Neeson talking about how if he was going to return, like, oh, I would only want to do a movie. I wouldn't want to do any TV shows.
Right.
Like the new Kenobi coming out May 27th, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You're like, okay.
No, I need to find this. Is this the wrong one? I did click on the wrong one. But she talks about how... Let me pull this up really quick. Apologies. Here it is. So...
You got a breath and whistle.
She said that, unfortunately, it seems that she was just in the dark as the rest of us, and Dawson just read a trade report and got excited. She's not as in the dark as the rest of us.
But you're like, lying.
She is not. Like, she knows, and I think she just messed up.
Yeah.
And that's on her. And that's why Disney immediately scooped that up and was like, nope, delete it.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's funny.
Yeah, that all but confirms, of course, that we will be seeing Hayden Christensen maybe in the Ahsoka show.
Probably.
But we're kind of moving on here. We got some Andor news, some surprising Andor news that I would say. So in a recently published blockbuster piece by Vanity Fair on the future of Star Wars, Lucasfilm has finally opened up about their upcoming projects, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. This includes, obviously, The Acolyte, Ahsoka, Kenobi, and last but not least, Andor. This is a spy thriller focused on the Rebellion 5 years before the events of Rogue One, and Lucasfilm confirmed to Vanity Fair that the series will debut late this summer.
That's cool.
I thought it was maybe a next year thing, but
really?
No, the fact that it's coming so soon.
I kind of thought it was like, I mean,
I know they called it like, I think, no, actually,
they called
they
it fourth
did
quarter.
Say Q3, I think.
Q3, yeah.
But I kind of figured that since we hadn't seen anything about it quite yet, that it would be pushed even further.
I definitely agree that summer is sooner than what we expected, but I was also expecting like the earliest be August.
Yeah, I think we're definitely getting August for this show because they're saying late summer. I think we'll definitely get a release date at Star Wars Celebration. But Diego Luna describes the show as a refugee story, saying, quote, we're going to quote this. Quote, it's the journey of a migrant. The feeling of having to move is behind this story, very profoundly and very strong. That shapes you as a person. It defines you in many ways and what you're willing to do. We will probably be getting a trailer for Star Wars next Thursday during Lucasfilm's panel at Star Wars Celebration, along with the release date. And I think I've been kind of... at least personally have been like, why do we need this show? Like, I've been kind of grumpy about it, but I feel like once I see some footage and see what this is like, it'll really be fun. Trying to do, I think I'll really open up to it a lot more.
I will tell you that within this Vanity Fair thing of these photos, just seeing the picture of Andor and Mon Mothma totally made me hype for it. I was just like, it's what I expected, but I'm excited now.
Right. And like, especially the kind of new looks we have with
for sure. Mon Mothma looks awesome. Like,
she looks amazing.
And just allow me to Mon Mothma rant real quick. I am so glad that Star Wars like visual media is going to be building on the idea of Mon Mothma, because I don't think it does her enough justice as the books do. You know, think of like Bloodline. That Mon Mothma's been dead for like 20 years in that book, and it was just like she left such an imprint, you know, like she was just such a big, like perfect follower, and you know, was this fantastic leader. And I really hope like she is a pivotal character in Andor. I really hope she's
I think she will be. I think the fact that she is in this photo shoot
for sure
with everybody else, I think that really
confirms
reveals that.
Yeah,
that she will play a pretty big part in Andor, which is really cool. And you know, August is 3 months away.
That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
That's going to be so much fun.
So I think that it'll be literally Kenobi finishes up. We have a couple weeks and then Andor.
Hell yeah.
So it'd be super cool. But
love it.
What is next?
So we got some movie updates. We're going to kind of just jump through these and talk each one, give the little bit that we have, and then go to the next one. The first is for Rogue Squadron. As part of Vanity Fair's big Star Wars piece about the franchise's future on television, Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy has offered a few updates on the status of Star Wars on the big screen. The biggest news is that Rogue Squadron has been pushed back in favor of bringing the unknown Star Wars project directed and co-written by Taika Waititi forward, although no official dates have been set. So that's all we know about Rogue Squadron.
It also alluded that Patty Jenkins is still attached to Rogue Squadron.
I think so, too. I think she's going to focus on Wonder Woman 3 and then give all of her, put all of her cards in Rogue Squadron.
Yeah.
And
I still don't know about the whole scheduling conflict excuse, but
yeah, I don't think it was a scheduling conflict. I think that they needed to rewrite it.
Yeah, I think there was a problem with the story and they wanted to nip in the bud before it got too.
And that's cool. I'm all for, you know, making sure you have a well-crafted piece. I completely get that.
Because Rogue Squadron would be in production right now if that movie was still going through with being releasing in December 2023. But
so you want to do the next one? Or you want me to go on?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. Next up, we have the Taika Waititi Star Wars movie. Kathleen Kennedy expects that the project will take Rogue Squadron's place, like we just said. Obviously, Taika Waititi worked on Thor Ragnarok. He directed Jojo Rabbit. And the script...
What We Do in the Shadows. Love that
was
movie.
Co-written by Taika and... Or I guess it's currently being co-written by Taika and Christy Wilson-Cairns, who worked on 1917, Last Night in Soho, which is a fantastic film, by the way.
So is 1917.
No release date has been given, but it can be presumed that Lucasfilm are hoping to get the film to take the December 2023 release date if they can make it work. And I also think during Star Wars Celebration this weekend, we're going to get something about this movie. Because if they're trying to push it, push it forward and like... make it the next, like the first
movie,
Star Wars movie after the Skywalker saga. I think they're going to have to give us some details.
We'll probably get a title. I bet you that's all. I bet you that'll be the cool biggest thing.
We get a title and like a little sizzle reel.
Yeah. Or like
a little like Taika talking head.
A story synopsis.
Not even, I don't think we'll give us that much early on.
Really?
Mm-mm, nah. Maybe just like a, you know, it's going to be a coming of age about this set in this period. And that's about it. Yeah, like super vague.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was saying it too. So, but okay, cool. Moving on, Kathleen Kennedy made some comments on Solo. For fans hoping for a future for Solo on the big screen, sad to say, Kennedy clearly dashed these hopes with regard to trying to recreate iconic characters from Star Wars movies past without utilizing digital magic. She had this to say, quote, there should be moments along the way when you learn things. Now it does seem so abundantly clear that we can't do that, end quote. I'm not going to say a lot. You can listen to our Imperial Cantina on Solo and listen to our thoughts, because I think that kind of really encapsulates everything I have about this. But I will say Alden and Donald Glover were not what was wrong with Solo. We're not what brought down Solo's demise. And I think that that's really funny that they're like, oh yeah, that was such a bad move, when it was like during even the production of it, no one trashed it. You know, no one talked about the performance. It was the fact that Solo wouldn't advertise, you know, it was just like, oh, hey, by the way.
I think there was a lot of issues with the release of Solo too. I feel like
it didn't have to do with its casting and its actors. And I think that this quote is just kind of them giving a reason for them to keep going on with this deepfake stuff, you know, to be able to do more of that, which
is fine.
It's cool, I guess. But I am also, I know you aren't, but I am of the notion that you can just recast the original trilogy or the original trio. You know, if you're wanting to put them in.
I don't have a problem with it, but I'm saying the majority of the fan base, I think, would have a problem with it. Especially like you, I don't see it being, I mean, I know Kathleen Kennedy's talking about like the reason why Solo was a financial failure was because of the casting. I don't think that's true at all. I just feel like if you tried to just flat out recast someone like Leia or Luke, it would be hard to look at that, like, look at this character and be like, this is the character that I know from 1980. And I also think when it comes to like Solo success, it wasn't that, oh, we cast a different actor to play these roles and that's why the film did bad financially. I think that the fact that they released it, you know, 6 months after The Last Jedi, a month, the same month as Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, just a rough spot for Star Wars movies.
That's why Star Wars needs to live in December and stay in December. It's not a May franchise anymore. I know it used to be,
but I get it. Yeah,
I don't think it. Star Wars has found its home in Christmas, and I think it needs to stay there. And that's where they will find the most success, I think. But
yeah, for sure.
Kind of moving on here, which a little bit of comments on the Lando series. However, all isn't lost for Lando or for Solo enjoyers. The Lando spinoff series starring Donald Glover remains in development for Disney Plus, though there aren't any updates on that. In the expose on the television side of the equation, and rumors some kind of project focused on Crimson Dawn have popped up intermittently. Whether or not Alden Ehrenreich ever gets a shot to play the character again remains to be seen. Which I think, if this is confirmed to be a Donald Glover, because I don't think they have actually confirmed that it is Donald Glover going to be in the Lando series.
It's kind of speculated, but yeah.
Right. I think if Donald Glover's Lando does show up, I don't see it being a huge problem to just like have a little Alden Han cameo in there.
My question is do you think the Lando show would take place before? All right. Three questions. Is it before Solo? Is it before Empire Strikes Back? Or is it after Return of the Jedi? Because there's story potential in all three.
I think it would have to be before Empire.
You think so? It's after.
I think it would have to be before we meet Lando as we know him in the original trilogy.
I dig that.
One, because the Donald Glover Lando we associate with it being young Lando and being, you know, a Lando from before when we knew him. So I think if they try to pass it off as like Lando looked like this after the events of the original trilogy, it'd be like, yeah, well, it's cool, but I don't really believe it.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how I view it.
That's cool. I dig that. I personally think it'll be before Solo. I think it's going to be about Lando's ties to Crimson Dawn. Give you some Maul action, gives you some Kira action, but yeah. Okay. Next is the Kevin Feige project. A bizarre note is that Kennedy seemed to act as though the standalone Star Wars project that Marvel Studios producer Kevin Feige is not officially on the cards, despite years of reports to the contrary and confirmation from multiple parties that it is in the pipeline at some point in the future. Quote, I would love to see what movie he might come up with, but right now there isn't anything specifically, end quote. Which I kind of get. I feel like the idea of Kevin Feige making a Star Wars movie is just to have fun names on the title cards. And he can do whatever he wants, you know, like I think that's funny is that like these shows and projects and everything that they're doing are all kind of centered in a very specific time frame. And Kevin Feige one would just be like, I don't know, what do you want to make? Like, what do you want to do?
I think it's just the fact that there's been so many reports and news about what his project is and like the fact that he even has a project. And Kathleen Kennedy is kind of just like,
I don't know.
There isn't anything specifically who really knows. You know, I'm wondering if it's something like they started to talk about
and then they couldn't.
And someone picked it up and ran with it.
That's fair.
Well, you know? And like maybe he is still, because he's got so much on his plate with Marvel right now.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
I could not see him having any time to step away and produce a Star Wars project.
In talks of Marvel, Phase 5 is supposed to be even bigger. You know, like they're supposed to keep going and do big things.
Well, I think I heard a thing about like they recently just sat down and planned the next 10 years of Marvel.
Oh, yeah. Well, and even then, Marvel's been planned like that forever. Because I know next phase for sure. Hey, guys, welcome back to Through Hydra Eyes.
That's right.
Quick talk. All I know for Phase 5 is Blade. And I'm pretty sure Fantastic Four. Like, those are the two confirmed, like, those are happening in Phase 5. Anyway, welcome back to Star Wars talk. Yeah, that's Kevin Feige doing his thing. What's next?
Let's talk about some Rian Johnson
for a second.
I know throughout this show we've been going back and forth as to whether Rian Johnson's trilogy is truly happening or if it officially got tossed away. But Rian Johnson's planned potential trilogy announced on a soft, sunny day back in 2017 has remained the subject of a lot of conversation due to a lack of status updates on it despite years of development. And I think this has a lot to do with the fact that they announced this trilogy before The Last Jedi even came out. Vanity Fair describes the project as being on the back burner, with Kennedy explaining that Johnson's existing commitments currently keep him from focusing on Star Wars. Quote, Ryan has been unbelievably busy with the Knives Out and the deal that he made at Netflix for multiple movies, which I completely understand, because if I was Rian Johnson, I had a really great time working on The Last Jedi, directing The Last Jedi. Such a great time that I signed a deal to, you know, direct three more movies of just whatever I want. And The Last Jedi comes out and I'm super excited about it. And the reception is very harsh and extremely divided. And then I'm like, okay, I just want to go off and make this fun little murder mystery thing I wrote, this little whodunit I wrote, and it is super successful. Everybody loves it. I would probably want to focus more energy into that as opposed to Star Wars. So I think that's kind of what's happening with Rian Johnson, especially with the fact that, you know, it got picked up for a trilogy with Netflix, and I think he's got the next 4 or 5 years to work on this Knives Out stuff. And I think we'll kind of return to this. Okay, it's been about, you know, it's been about seven, eight years since The Last Jedi. Things have simmered down a little bit, and then he'll have a chance to sit down and figure out this new story and trilogy, which I really hope he actually goes through with, because he's a fantastic filmmaker, and I think he has the potential to write a really cool and different Star Wars trilogy set in an era that doesn't need, you know, it doesn't need to follow a formula.
It's all his own.
Yeah. It doesn't need to also piggyback off of other people's stories either. Yeah,
I agree.
So,
I honestly couldn't agree more.
I have very strong opinions on Rian Johnson as a filmmaker.
Yeah, no, you were the Rian Johnson man. The next note is that Kennedy noted that Lucasfilm has a sense of direction as to where they're headed, and that fans should think of Star Wars stories in terms of convention, and fans shouldn't think of Star Wars stories in terms of conventional trilogy storytelling going forward, which may or may not apply to Johnson's planned films, but they should dial things back to a, quote, one movie at a time approach. Quote, we have a roadmap. I hesitate to use the word trilogies anymore, because Star Wars is much more about persistent storytelling, end quote, which I'm down for. I really like kind of doing these one-offs and just filling in these gaps, you know, and just having it rather than it being, you know, well, we've got three movies of this and we've got a couple movies of this and I don't know about in between, rather than, well, there's, you know, there's eight different projects that are all their own thing that just, you know, you watch them all together and they fill out the whole thing, but you don't need every single one in order to survive.
Yeah, I think the issue with that for me is that it goes to a point where you make a movie and release it, and then you have to wait for the reception to know if you're going to continue the story.
That's fair.
Which I don't really know if, I mean, obviously speaking financially, you know, I think that is a smart move on their part. But I also, as a Star Wars fan, I like to know that we are getting multiple tellings of this story and like telling a story in several parts. I think that's the way Star Wars was kind of born to be told, is in several parts or movies or what have you, because it's very episodic. So that's why I wonder if this is the right move or if this is just the new direction Star Wars is going.
When it comes to TV, I think it is.
Yeah.
But then I also would say things like Rian Johnson, that should be a trilogy. Like those are the things that should be, whereas, you know, if you're going to make a bunch of TV shows, have them be, you know, their own little set and section and a full rounded story, you know.
Yeah, I think they're kind of taking the path of what they were originally planning on with these Star Wars anthology movies back in like 2015.
Just turning them into TV shows.
Well, not even that, of just it being, you make a one-off movie and you see how it does and you go from there.
Yeah.
You make a one-off movie, see how it does, go from there. I think that's kind of their new approach, instead of being like, okay, we have this brand new trilogy planned and we're going to commit to spending $1 billion on these three movies.
Yeah.
I think now it's going to be like, okay, we're going to spend $100 million on this movie, see how it does, and go from there, because we can't afford to you know, right. spend all this money on a trilogy and not know what's going to happen with it, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I definitely agree with that.
We can move on here to our next story. We got some Kelly Marie Tran news, I think for the first time ever on Through Imperial Eyes. She was just recently interviewed, looking back on her Star Wars experience. She's spoken out about the highs and lows about her time playing Rose Tico in episodes 8 and 9. Quote, "My big break was in 2016 when I was offered the role of Rose in episode 8. As I was auditioning for Star Wars, it was a 6-month process. I never thought to myself that I would ever actually get it, because again, I keep going back to this idea, this culture of belief, but like, I grew up watching those movies and they're all white, so I was like, oh, I'm obviously not going to get this, because but one day I'll tell my grandchildren how lucky I was to audition for this thing, and that was at least a cool thing that I did." And I think that goes to show that we have come a long way in Star Wars, especially when it comes to inclusion and diversity. Because, I mean, she auditioned back in 2016 and was like, maybe because the fact that I'm Asian, I won't be able to get this role.
Right.
And she got it.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of people to thank for that, but especially, you know, especially filmmakers like Rian Johnson, who's always been an advocate for diversity in cinema. And, you know, the fact that she got her big break in Star Wars is yeah. super cool, being an Asian American.
I gotta say too, of all of the Star Wars projects, is Kenobi the only one with a white lead?
Maybe.
As of right now, I think so. And that's awesome, you know?
Yeah, because even The Mandalorian,
exactly,
Pedro Pascal
exactly.
wasn't white either.
And Boba Fett, like, yeah, Book of Boba Fett having two, you know, people of color leads. And like, that's crazy. So cool.
Yeah, love that. And then she goes on to talk about her experience kind of post-Star Wars. Quote, "What it felt like to me was two opposite ends of the spectrum, unbridled joy and ecstasy and feeling so proud and just wanting to bring all my friends and everyone who looks like me and everyone who's ever felt like they didn't belong somewhere to be able to make that jump and have that sort of brain shift, be like, oh my God, impossible things are possible." That was the best part of it. And on the other end, it was just vitriol. I think it needs to be acknowledged that I don't really know what to say about it other than every experience in life has good things and bad things that come with it. So I think all of that stuff really affected me and still maybe affects just what I think when I think about representation. And I think she's definitely referring to the whole big social media debacle that went down. Because I remember seeing those nasty comments on her Instagram back in like 2017, and I was like, dude, she's gonna delete her Instagram and never join, you know,
didn't
social
she?
Media again.
Didn't she?
And she straight up did.
I was gonna say she did. Same yeah. with Daisy Ridley.
And she's back.
Yeah, she just came back. Yeah.
Yeah, she's back, baby. But yeah, it has always been super upsetting to me to think that she was so excited and happy to be like, you know, to be an Asian American being represented in Star Wars, and she had this big break and she finally made it. And the only feedback she gets from like a lot, now I'm not going to say the majority, but a lot of Star Wars fans was completely racist and
yeah.
bigoted behavior against her. And like, just like completely spamming all of her social media with this crap.
Not the majority, but the loudest, which is
the loud minority.
A very heartbreaking thing.
Yeah, so I'm glad that she is at least a little bit come to terms with it, but it's still so, it's so such a fresh thing still. Like, that was only 5 years ago.
And, you know, I don't think I will ever forgive Rise of Skywalker for not including Rose even more.
Yeah,
that is
one big, big gripe I have about that movie.
It's like, what, a line? Maybe two.
She has a couple lines, and she has like 5 minutes of screen time total in that movie.
You just gave it.
It's not a thing that makes me go, oh, I hate the Rise of Skywalker.
No, for sure. But it's like,
it's something that I'm just like, this is a big bummer.
That was a decision, you know.
Right.
And be what you may think about like the character and the actress and all of that, but it's like, you understood what happened and you made a decision. It's the word that I want to use because I have a lot. You just made the decision to, I guess, follow along with that. And I think Rose and Finn should have been like, you know, duos the whole movie.
I mean, it's even more upsetting if you read the script for Duel of the Fates, the original Colin Trevorrow episode 9.
She is a big character.
Her and Finn are like the A team.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you built all that up and then what? Didn't take it because nobody, because all the racists like yelled. The racists always have been yelling. You know, we were around for Phantom Menace. Like we saw that.
I'm also wondering if it was, also like low key at the request of Kelly Marie Tran to kind of like simmer down Rose just because she didn't want to deal with it. You know, because I feel like
we would have heard something about that. Being
in that situation, like we will never know as white men,
for sure,
what it's like to be in that situation. But it's still just all around super upsetting. I'm glad that she actually has officially gotten like a true StarWars.com piece about this whole experience too.
More Rose Tico.
For sure.
More Rose Tico.
But what is our last story here of the week?
So this big, thick week. We're finishing off our last episode before Kenobi releases with some Kenobi news. They dropped a clip. It's a very small clip, and it's some bits of things that we've kind of already seen within trailers. But it is the scene of Obi-Wan and Lars, Owen Lars, talking in, I guess it's Mos Eisley, maybe they're at Tatooine, you know, they're at like a marketplace. And it's the bit from the trailer where Owen's like you trained his father. We see a couple more lines from that and them discussing it. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, I'll tell you, Ewan McGregor and, oh God, I'm blanking on his name. Joel.
Joel
Edgerton.
There he is.
Yeah, I had Edgerton. Joel Edgerton, phenomenal actors. You know, just absolute character driven people. Ewan's voice is spectacular. You know, we talked about him kind of getting back into it. I think instantly hearing it, I was like, wow. I was like, wow. I was like, I've heard more Ewan McGregor talking in his Scottish accent than I've heard him talking to Obi-Wan. I was just like, oh, I was like, there he is. And I thought this scene, even though it literally was like 30 seconds, just was like, you know, actor showpiece. I'm so excited for like our tour, like actual like drama acting within a Star Wars like show. And it's just going to be this big character piece. And like, oh, it's going to be so good. It's a cool scene. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah. And just seeing that little tidbit of the passion that Obi-Wan has for Luke and like training and protecting Luke and Owen being so grumpy about it.
Yes.
That's what I need, baby.
I know.
You know,
I'm so excited.
I think it gives you just enough to where you're still hungry for more and you're probably going to get a little more of that, but it just gives you a little taste.
Yeah.
Just a little.
It's going to be. And you know what it makes me really excited for is the scenes with Vader is I think there will be maybe not a lot, but really good scenes of Obi-Wan and Vader just talking. And those are going to be very powerful scenes, you know,
and just hearing Ewan use his Obi-Wan voice again is
exactly, it's just it hits you right in the heartstrings. You're just like, oh, we are back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
one last thing I wanted to get to, we put out a tweet, yesterday, for people to kind of send in some of their fun theories and speculation for Kenobi. And we got a couple responses here that I wanted to talk about that we can kind of talk over. This first one comes on Twitter from @Garthaval. This is my good friend Gavin Alton from high school. He says two things that he's hoping for is Clone Wars era flashbacks to see more of Anakin and Obi-Wan together and two Force Ghost Qui-Gon. Obviously, we have talked about this, and how likely do you think it is now, being a week away from the show, that we do get these Clone Wars flashbacks with Anakin and Obi-Wan?
If there is going to be at least one, I think it's going to be a live action remake of that unfinished Clone Wars scene where it's Anakin and Obi-Wan by the campfire.
Yeah, we did talk about that, and I'm wondering... I think that'd be really cool. I don't know if it's feasible.
I think the reason that they would use something like that is that this show is supposed to be about Obi-Wan and Anakin. Truth be told, I don't think we're going to get like a Captain Rex or a Commander Cody or anything like that.
I think we will.
I think for sure Qui-Gon, like absolutely. But these Clone Wars kind of flashbacks, I don't think it's going to be a lot of the show. I think it'll be maybe a bit here and a bit there, but they will be more focused on Anakin and Obi-Wan and their relationship. Also, because that's kind of my explanation for showing Hayden's face. Because if he's,
I think that's why you cast Hayden.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know? I think that they will show him, like, they'll do like a battle damaged Vader and we see his face, but the full, like, the scenes of Hayden, you know, giving like his face to act will be in these Clone Wars scenes, whereas the rest of him will be in Vader.
Well, I think it will also be a lot of the Vader's castle Bacta tank stuff. Cause yes. Hayden has said that we're going to get a lot of like what it's really like to be Vader.
Yes.
In like the straight up pain that he goes through
so excited.
Every day. Like we're going to see him waking up, making his eggs, saying ow a lot.
Saying wizard and ouch.
Ouch. Oh, my thighs. Oh, my God, my thighs. It's going to be like trying to get out of bed. Like, oh, my God.
Just please. Suspended.
Someone just kill me, please.
Get me down. Get me down.
It's the dude with the hood just like walking around like, oh,
my Lord, he's got me down. God.
That's a Robot Chicken bit.
Yeah, right.
It's got to be. And then Force Ghost Qui-Gon, obviously. Force Ghost Qui-Gon, obviously, we talked about that. I think I will straight up be disappointed if we don't get Force Ghost Qui-Gon, or at least the voice of Liam Neeson.
I know. It's so pivotal.
But you just have to also think about like how seriously do you take Liam Neeson's comments about what he said about it?
Not at all.
Right.
I know that man's lying through his teeth.
He's got to be, right?
Yeah, for sure he does. To even say something like that, like that's just so outwardly suspicious that it's like, mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. And then second, we have a tweet from @SafeBricks. They have a hot take saying Obi-Wan will never say hello there.
Probably not.
Do you think he'll say hello there? I think they got to sneak it in there, right?
If he does, it's like his first line. And it's not the hello there. It's just like a hello there.
That would be funny.
Totally just
if he's
like,
totally over saying hello there.
He walks up like, to a merchant. Hello there.
Yeah.
Two male runes, please.
A kid on Tatooine runs up to him. Say the line.
Do the roar.
Hello there.
Do the roar.
Yeah. I personally, you know what? Let's make our bets right now.
Honestly, we should make Kenobi bingo.
Under over. What do you think is the chance that we get an Obi-Wan saying hello there in the series? I say over 70%.
Over 70%?
Yeah, so like somewhere in between the 70%.
I say over 50%, but under 70%.
Over 50, under 70. I'm going over 70, and I'm going under 90.
That's fair.
Because definitely like, I think they got us. It's so iconic. They got to sneak it
in. Do you think it'll be like he kind of just offhand, like we kind of just joked about like that offhand, like says it? Or do you think it'll be like he pulls up, he does some cool move, psh, hello there, you know, and it's like this whole moment.
That's kind of what I'm, or like, you know, he's at a place, Reva sneaks up on him, jumps down from the rafters or something, and he does the hello there.
She says it.
She says hello there. Now, that would be cool.
That would be funny. Yeah.
That'd be pretty badass. But
that's my line.
That's all about that. All that came in, I think, here from Twitter. And last but not least, do you have any final theories or speculation for Kenobi before we talk about the first two episodes next week?
I know I sent you a message over it, but I think the plot of the show is going to be about Obi-Wan going after the Skywalker saber. I think that it'll be taken from him. Mm. And that is the plot, is that he has to go get it so he can bring it back in time for Luke's training.
And that's why he's so kind of concerned about training Luke.
He's so adamant about like making sure Luke is a Jedi and having all of the things that the most important piece, at least to him, that he made sure he had, you know, defeating Vader on Mustafar. He takes the saber. It's like, I will pass this on. I don't even think he knew that they were going to be kids yet, you know, but he's like, I will like, I guess avenge this lineage and, you know, rise up with it. And I bet you Inquisitors find it and they bring it to Vader, and Vader's like, he's like, he's still alive. He's like,
well, because you did talk about how in this Vanity Fair shoot, you yes, see in Hayden the, in with the Hayden, Skywalker
the
saber.
The Hayden combat photo where he's wearing the cape, he's holding the Skywalker saber. And yeah. and all of the posters, it's been the Skywalker saber. And all of the clips have been about training Luke and making sure that Luke is ready. It's like, I think it's going to center around the saber, which is a fun, like, homage to everything. You know, I like that it kind of centers around it. Because I think if it's just like Obi-Wan's sad and the bad guys are trying to catch him, I just feel like you don't run into an actual, like,
conflict
in, like, an actual plot within the story, rather than it just being all of these circumstances.
And like I said, like I told you, I think that would also be a really good reason to get Kenobi off Tatooine is yes. to, like, pursue something exactly. for Luke. You know, yes. instead of it being just like,
guess I gotta leave. Yeah.
Right. Like, I promised to watch Luke, but yeah, I guess yeah. I'll go and figure this, you know, I think that's actually a really good thing. Or, you know, it could be something along the lines of, you know, there has been a threat against Luke or he's something and he has to deal with him. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that kind of, I don't want to get too deep into theories and speculation because it's going to you know, yeah. conjure expectations
build
that
false hope.
yeah, that shouldn't be there. So I'm just going to leave our Kenobi conversation at that. And we'll definitely talk about those first two episodes next week in person.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. If anybody here does not know, next week we will be doing a special little Kenobi day on the day of the release of Kenobi next Friday. We'll be talking about all the goodies. We're going to be watching it together. We might record ourselves watching it. Who knows? We'll see.
we're just going to watch it.
Yeah, we're just going to watch
it. We're just going to hang out.
Did you press record?
No.
Yeah, so
I pressed
we'll definitely
play.
Have that. We'll definitely have that coming next week for sure. Everyone's going to be super excited. We're going to have a bunch of Star Wars Celebration stuff to talk about for sure on Thursday and Friday. So that'll be super fun. But we'll just get out of your hair for now. If you want to find us on the social media, you can always find us on Instagram at Through Imperialized Pod, Twitter at Imperialized Pod, and of course, YouTube Through Imperialized Podcast. Jackson, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Quaxon Scaling. That's Quaxson and scaling like the triangle. I don't really post on it as much anymore. I need to. I probably will be here soon, but I'm shooting behind the scenes for a web series right now, and probably will be edited within the next week or two. But when those photos are up, they will be on my photography Instagram, which is at @Daleen_photography. It's DALEEN_photography. But you know, who knows whenever that is. I'm still in the shoot. You know, it's going to be another week or two with it. And it's going to be like 20,000 photos that I'll have to sift through. I know. But anyway, yeah, check those out whenever they come.
And if you want to find me anywhere, you can find me over on the Instagrams at Braden Ledbetter and on Twitter at Brayathlon. And you can see what I'm watching, see what I'm reviewing over there on my Letterboxd at BLedbetter. And check out what I'm doing at my day job over there at Vet19 on YouTube. And don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify, whatever you got to do to keep up to date with us. Leave that review and let us know that you like what we're doing or that you don't like what we're doing. And it helps out either way.
You guys suck.
You guys suck. And we might be doing a little more of just kind of reaching out and connecting with you guys and sending out those tweets for you to send us in your fun ideas and speculation for Star Wars things, because it's always fun to hear from you guys. We love talking about it on the show, so definitely please make sure to participate in that kind of stuff, because we love hearing from you guys. And we'll be back next week to talk about some Kenobi. Finally, we'll be seeing a couple episodes.
Yes,
we've been waiting. We've been waiting, what, 7 years
yeah,
for
right.
a Kenobi
yeah,
thing?
Right.
So it's been so long. And the day is almost here. Super exciting. But until then, of course, may the Force be with you.
With you.